Good morning. Our scripture reading is from Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Morning. Once again, happy to see everyone here today on this beautiful Sabbath day. Come together to worship our God and our Savior, knowing that, yes, He is our Redeemer, with the surety that one day soon we will be with Him, to know Him face to face, to be able to walk the rolling hills of this new earth, travel to other worlds, to see the atoms that were there and why they did not sin, but to be with our Lord Jesus Christ is our prayer today that we do it. So I just pray and think that as we're here today. And if you would turn to our scripture reading there, Matthew 6, the Lord's Prayer, and we'll look at part of that today in that there. So let's just have a word of prayer. Yes, our Heavenly Father, we pray today that we are in your presence to thank thee for the Lord Jesus Christ, for his accomplishments, for his merits, in paying the price for each and every one of us so that we might have life. Oh God, we pray that we do not look to our own glory, but we look to your glory, that you may give us your glory, and the Lord Jesus to give us his glory. So we just pray, Father, that in your presence we give honor and glory to thee. And we, as we change our lives to reflect Jesus, we pray for the Holy Spirit to be active within us, Father. For we know that without the Holy Spirit, without us being active and giving the gospel commission, we know that we cannot accomplish anything for thee. And that is what we're trying to do. To do the work that you have given to each and every one of us. So, Father, we just pray through the Lord Jesus Christ that this will happen in our lives and that we will glorify thee in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Yes. We're going to look at verses 6 and 9 really today. I got most of these words from the Ministerial Association. And we know that communing with God, prayer is about many things. And so I'm going to talk about reverencing and reigning. Reverencing Christ and reigning, his reigning that will one day come soon. But when we get to know God as our Father, we find just how wonderful his name is. And we see that starting in verse 9 of Matthew 6 there. That knowledge should create within us a desire to see him glorified. And we pray that we are trying to do that every day in our lives. And as we look at that first paragraph there of the Lord's Prayer, we read, Hallowed be thy name. What do these words mean? And how might they enlighten our lives now, today, in our walk with God? We pray that it is doing that. And as I said, we'll talk about reverencing first and then reigning. And these words here, Hallowed be thy name, they speak about a description. The phrase there tells us something about the character of God. And we know that we are looking for his character in our lives. And so that his name revealed in the Word of God reveals a character to us. And we know and get to see and know God through many names that he has. His name tells us who he is. In the Old Testament, he's commonly known by the name Jehovah. But then along with the others there, this man is, which he reveals to himself in Moses on Mount Sinai in Exodus 3:14, how God came to him and said, I am that I am. And it literally means I will become what I please. And we know that our Lord God is the one that can become anything that he pleases. The word translated in Hebrew is Yahweh. And this word literally means the becoming one. And we know that God is our becoming one. See that? And we speak God as one who will live supreme in our lives if we allow it. It's our choice. It's our free choice to have him reign within our hearts and our lives. And we pray that we are doing it there. And so we know that many of his names are unalterable. So we see that. But his great name took many forms over the years. And the Jewish people had many names for him. And so we're going to look at some of the derivatives of the name Jehovah. And the first one is Jehovah Jireh, if I pronounce that right, in Genesis 22:14. The Lord will see it, or the Lord will provide. We know that our God will supply all of our needs. He takes care of all people, all humanity, every day, every moment of our lives. And then in Exodus 17:15 is Jehovah Nisi. The Lord is our banner or our victory. And yes, he is our banner. And it is our victory that we can have through the Lord Jesus Christ. Then in Judges 6:24, Jehovah Salam. The Lord is peace. And yes, we know that the Lord is peace. Many other names are given of God. And they, Elohim, which means God. Jehovah Elyon, meaning the Lord Most High. Jehovah Makadish, meaning the Lord our Sanctifier. El Shaddai, the All-Sufficient One, or the Almighty God. And also, as we know, and as we read here in chapter 6 of Matthew, also Father. And we see that he is called, and that's to me and maybe to you, other, the greatest name that we can have of our God is Jesus Christ. And we pray that he's in our lives every day as we look at the names and we'll look at what God has accomplished for us. Our God took human flesh, was born in this world, and he died on the cross for you and for me, for our sins. And his name reveals that he is or he does what he does for his people. And we know that he is working for his children. So we pray that we are his children every day of our lives so that we can have that eternal life with our Lord Jesus Christ. Christ came here and died for each of us so that we might have put on immortality. And that's to have a perfect body. We know that the sin and sickness and everything else that is here upon us, and God said that he wouldn't take that away from us. We still have to go through these things. But with the assurity of eternal life, that one day all things are going to be made right, and that we can be a part of it. So we just think that as we are his presence, as we worship him, as we honor and praise his holy name, you know, for who he is, and it should lift our hearts, our souls, and our voice to the one God that there is, the one that loves us, the one that says saved us and keeps us and cares for us every moment. We are to take time to reverence him and honor his hallowed name. These words also speak about a decision that is to be made. We face a decision when we come before our God in prayer. We can either focus on our prayers that are around ourselves, or we can center our thoughts on him. We pray that we are centering our thoughts on God every day. Let's keep that. Hallowed by the name expresses a desire on the part of the petitioner to bow before the Lord in humble submission and give our lives to him, have that change of heart. And so we just want to praise the Holy Lord today, Father. We learn about reverencing God by looking at the life of Jesus Christ, our Savior and our Redeemer, to see how he lived on this earth. And he followed all the laws, used the power from on high, not his own power, in his life. And he brought many people to the Lord, to God. And we pray that he is working that way through us today, as his representative here upon this earth. We have a work to do. We can't be idly sitting by, especially now at these times, because everything is moving so rapidly that the Lord is going to come and we're not even going to know it. So I pray that we are keeping our eyes and our prayers focused on Jesus Christ. And we need to be in humble submission at all times. So we pray they're doing. And then the ancient Jews had such reverence for the name of God that they wouldn't even say it out loud. They created the name Yahweh from two of the Lord's names so that they could talk about him without saying his name. Sometimes today I think it'd be funny for us to be talking without using his name. So we use God or our Father. They feared that they might use his name in vain. And we know that we have to make sure that we do not there and to be guilty of blasphemy. And that's in Exodus 27. So the Jewish scribes who were engaged in the practice of copying these words down and gave that respect to him through that hallowed name that the world, that they would even wash their bodies. They would change their pens before they wrote his name. After they had written his name, they destroyed that quill so that if it was wrote another name word, that it would form a lesser word. So that sometimes it seems funny to do to go to that extreme, but they did. They did that. And many times they referred to God by just using the name. And I don't, maybe we could do that ourselves today, you know. But we need to learn this the same degree of reverence for God as they had for God in those days, in the days of Jesus. But man is too far guilty of taking the Lord's name in vain. And we all know it, gosh, jolly, gee whiz, are all derived from the name of Jesus. We have to be careful what we say. And how many times have we heard it or said, oh God, oh my God, or Jesus? And even Christians are guilty of that. Some of those shows that they have on where they're showing the people buying houses or they're having their room in their house, redecorated and everything. And that's the word everyone uses it. They set it out and they say it more than once. Oh my God. Always on there. And I hate to watch those shows anymore just because of that. So we see that we should not do that. But we probably have all done it. And we have degraded the Lord's name. So we just throw it around casually. So we have to make sure that we're not doing that. His name is a hallowed name and is to be treated with respect and reverence. We want respect from other people, so we should be giving it to our God and to our Lord Jesus Christ. We must be coming before him with a burning desire to glorify his name. And I pray that we're doing that also. And then we worship and hallow his name. We are worshiping and hallowing God himself. So we know that these words have meaning. So we have to be careful as we do when we do the Lord's Prayer at any time we're using the word, whatever word we're using for God, our Father. And that's all the words speaks about devotion. We have to have our daily devotion with our God and with our Lord Jesus Christ. And it spoke of God, it also expresses a desire on the part of the one praying to worship him for who he is and what he has done for us and is doing for us. So we see that we petition to him for victory in our lives. And through that he will give us victory. We cannot have the victory of ourselves, for we do not know how to do it. But with Christ on our side, in following what he has written and has written in the word, we know that we can be victorious. So we just pray that we will continue to see that. In Matthew 5:16. It shows us where God, Jesus, revealed himself. And hallowed by the name is a prayer for God to be glorified by all that we are and all that we are in him. 1 Corinthians 10:36. We know that God's name is already holy. His name is through the lives that we live, and that we can only be holy through God, that he gives us that holiness. We pray that we do that. We pray that hope that it's that kind of prayer that we have in honoring him every day and today, that we honor Christ, we honor God through our prayers. And so it should create within us a hunger to do what God has asked us to do in reverencing his holy name. Thy kingdom come. So we help at that as we read there also. Hallowed by the name expresses a desire to see Christ glorified. But we also know that he never receives all the glory he is due until his kingdom comes. Till he becomes a reality both in our lives and in the world. And we know that that won't really happen until he comes a second time to collect his people. So we know that we need to pray, thy kingdom come. These three words are short in prayer, short in length. But they give a message that is immense, and it should be immense in each one of our lives. Understanding what each one of these words means shed some light on the power contained in these phrases. And there is power there for each and every one of us. So we just pray that we do it. And understanding what these words mean can help us truly be part of his. And look at thy. This word is a pronoun. And it refers to the Father who is in heaven. The kingdom we are talking about is not in human origin. It is not a kingdom with castles and moats or knights or shining armors or even ladies in waiting. It's a spiritual kingdom that will come to this earth when our Lord comes. So we just pray that as we look at that kingship, that dominion, to rule and to reign in our lives as well as in the world. And I pray that when that comes, that we will all be a part of it. To be in that first resurrection where we'll be ever either lifted up or raised up from the grave and have immortality. If we have any broken parts or missing limbs or whatever thing, there will be no more. No more sickness and no more death. What a promise that God has given to each and every one of us. But we have to accept the Lord Jesus Christ. We have to accept his calling to be able to have this happen in our lives. And I pray that we do that. And it is to pray that the Father reigns here on earth now today. As we already know that they're trying to take God out of everything, Jesus out of everything. Christianity can hardly be spoken today. And so we need to make sure that we stay true no matter what. The time ever comes in our lives that we have to stand up for the truth that we have. Whether will we do it or not, will we be able to stand and stay true? Especially about the Sabbath day. What comes upon us, whether we're working or something, and we can't worship on the Sabbath day, and if we say that we have to worship on Saturday, what are we going to do? Sometimes I say that till these things happen, I don't know what I'm going to do. But yet we have to have surety that we will stay true to God no matter what. So we just pray that we are doing that. In the kingdom, this word comes from a Greek word, basileia. And it means royal power, kingship, dominion, a rule or reign. So we need to pray, thy kingdom come, is to pray for God's reign to come here upon this earth and then come. This little word is important. One also meaning suddenly, instantly, and quickly. And we know that how is Christ is coming. He's coming quickly. We can be caught unawares if we're not ready. If we're not right with our Lord Jesus Christ, with our God, that sudden appearance that the new kingdom is going to come upon this earth, and that we can know that God will have total control. There will be no nation or no king or other person that has control but our God. So we need to be ready to accept that. We pray that he has control now of each one of our lives. Even though we know that we have resistance many times because we want our own ways. We allow our human nature to take over every so often. So we need to subdue our human nature and to follow our Lord Jesus Christ. And seeking the rule that God wants to have in our lives. He wants to control us, but in a beautiful way. To be a slave of Jesus Christ should be one of our top priorities. See that. And then there's three conclusions that we can have as we see that rise out of this understanding of the phrase, thy kingdom come. One is a petition that is prophetic. It's clear when we read the Bible that God promises that there will be a future kingdom and a righteousness upon this earth, and that we can be a part of it. And when we pray, "Thy kingdom come," we are asking for the Father to bring His kingdom here upon this earth. We're asking God to fulfill His promises. We already know that He will, but we need to be able to ask that for God to fulfill His promises, especially in each one of us, but yet for the kingdom to come. There are a few passages that speak about these thoughts too. We'll not look them up, but Isaiah 9, 6, and 7, or Daniel 2, 44, Luke 1, verses 22 and 23, Matthew 25, verse 31, and I forgot, we are going to look up Daniel. If you turn to Daniel chapter 2 and verse 44. In verse 44. "And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever." Yes, the kingdom of God will stand forever. And that we can be a part of it, that we can live in that kingdom if we give our hearts to the Lord Jesus Christ. If we have that faith and the belief that is necessary for the grace of God to allow us into the kingdom. We pray for that grace every day to be in our lives. And we see that there. It's know that one day He will reign and we can be His subjects. We can see that power and that glory that He will have as He reigns over His people. We know that the earthly kingdom right now is tainted with sin. 2 Corinthians 4:4 says that, and Romans 8:22 tells that there. It's under the grip of sin, and the only way to break it is by following the commandments of God, not allowing the temptations that are thrown at us every day, every moment of our lives, to take over our lives, to be able to resist with the power from on high. And yes, we do have that power. We can have that some power to be able to resist, overthrow these temptations. And if we are connected to the living vine, we will not allow these temptations to take over. So we pray that we are connected to the living vine to see that our Jesus is coming. And when we know that, we're echoing the pains of nature. And we're speaking about some great event to take place, and that we can all be a part of it. If we have that assurance, you know, we're asking for His righteousness to be within us, to help us. Absolute rule as we realize that He's going to reign upon this earth and see that. So let us therefore pray, "Thy kingdom come," so that we will be as John says, "Even so, come Lord Jesus." We do. We want our Lord Jesus to come today. We know that there's yet many things to happen before He does come. But to have that assurance every day that He is coming soon. And as I said, some of us may be alive at that time. But if not, we will be raised from wherever our grave is to be able to see His coming, to be able to glorify His name at that time. So we hope that we are. The petition is also personal. Just as surely as we pray for the future kingdom to come, we're praying for that kingdom to be realized in each one of our lives so that other people can see it. I look at it as amazed to be able to think that people can look at us and see Christ. And if we live that life that we need to, if we live the life on the outside as well as we live it on the inside, we will be Christ-like in all of our dealings and all of our words. The word kingdom means royal power, kingship, dominion, or to rule or to reign. And when we say "Thy kingdom," we are praying to God and to realize that His rule and reign is what we are after, and it will be coming soon. And it's also a petition to desire God to be our Lord, King, and Savior. So we just see that God will enthroned us within his heart, in our hearts. We know that we are the temple of the living God. And to have the God in our hearts, to have the Lord Jesus Christ reigning within us, allowing the Holy Spirit to control our lives, we just pray that we are doing that. Many people try to mold Jesus into their own, into their image, to make it look like we know what he looks like. But we know that the Jesus of the Bible cannot have that to happen. We have to allow him and to acknowledge him as he is and as a king that he is. And so we desire to see that in John 14:15. If ye love me, keep my commandments. Pray that we are doing that, and along with that, to love our neighbors as ourselves. So the literal reign of Jesus is in the future, but in the near future, so that we need to be saved by his grace as citizens of the kingdom of God. And I pray that we are there. To pray for that kingdom to come right now, Philippians 3:20. And so we do with it, live it out through our lives for his glory. The petition is also practical. Thy kingdom come. We are experiencing a desire to see his work in each one of us and to advance his word in the world today, to advance the gospel, that Jesus Christ in him crucified, to let people know that the Lord is coming the second time and it's soon, that we need to be ready. But we need to be ready ourselves first before we can do this. And I pray that we are getting ready to be able to be the example that God wants us to be. In other words, we will not be able to usher in his kingdom if we are not. We need to be ready. And so he will bring it when he comes. And it will be established by his own power alone. There's no power that human man has to bring this on. It is God, and the Lord Jesus Christ himself, that will bring this kingdom. We can be a part of it, though, and to see that and to see it spread about in the world today if we are doing the work that he has given to us. There's several ways that we can do this. We can do it through prayer, praying for his kingdom to come and his will to be done in the world around us, through submission, yield our lives to him so that he can live through us and his will be in us, demonstrate his love, his grace, and his saving power to a lost and dying world. Galatians 2:20, Ephesians 2:10. There's many people out there in Christianity that believe that this world is not going to be destroyed, that they're going to live on this world without changes. But we know that there has to be changes be made, because we know that this world cannot survive, because it has also been cursed. The earth and the ground has been cursed 3 times by God. So we know that it has to be destroyed through outreach, to be able to get the message out there, to get through Christ, to get the burden of a lost and dying world that we should all have. We should have that burden to get the message out there to save others so that we ourselves can be saved. We have commands to do that in Mark 16:15. We have all the resources we need, Acts 1:8. So we need to go into all the world and preach to every creature. We need to ask ourselves these questions. What are we doing as individuals and as a church to spread God's kingdom in this world today? What can we do to be more effective for his glory? That little phrase, hallowed by thy name, is a call for us to reverence God in his name, honoring him for who he is, respecting him, and worshiping him, because worship is due him. So when we pray, to live out this life within us in our daily lives, how are we doing in the area of hallowing his name? We know that these areas need work. We now need to bow before the Father and ask for his help. Help us to teach us how to hallow his name and to glorify it. Are we praying for his kingdom to come into this world? Are you and I doing all we can to see that the message of the King, the gospel, is shown to the whole world? Are you and I yielding to his lordship in our own lives as we should be? There are souls out there that are not yet part of God's kingdom. And we need to be about our Father's business and be after these souls, these lost souls, bringing them into the kingdom. We need to go out and find them, the hedges, the byways, and bring them to his kingdom. And we know that that work has been given to each and every one of us. And I pray that we are doing that work, but in prayer, by reverencing and reigning with our Lord Jesus Christ one day soon. Yes, our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank thee for the sweet hour of prayer that we may have with thee. Help us truly that we may be yours. O our precious Lord, take our hand. Take my hand. Yes, precious Jesus, take our hand. Glory to him whose power working in us can do infinitely more than we can ask or imagine. Glory be to him from generation to generation in the church and in Jesus Christ forever and ever. Amen.